Today on the program, we'll take a closer look at prayer, and we'll also examine the daily Mass readings. We've got a lot to cover. Get ready. Here we go. Welcome. Come on in and make yourself at home. This is Gary Zimak, just hanging out, waiting for you to arrive. Got a big show today. We're going to take a closer look at prayer. I think prayer could be one of the most mysterious and complicated things that we face in our spiritual life. Can it? I mean, sometimes you just don't know the right way to pray. And honestly, there isn't a right way to pray, but there are some things we can look at to help understand prayer and to better pray. How's that? Yeah, and I say there's no right way to pray. There are some wrong things that we can do when we pray. We'll talk about all this more. I think it's great to discuss it, because if we remember that prayer is ultimately a relationship with the Lord, really that's what it is. It's when we turn to the Lord and we converse with Him and we let Him speak back to us. We have this conversation. That's what prayer is. If we study it, we learn a little bit more about it. And I'm not talking about something academic that's going to be completely impossible to understand, but if we just learn a couple of facts, it's going to enhance our prayer life. We're going to really benefit from it. So we'll discuss that as put forth by the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We got some good readings today from Monday of the 11th week in ordinary time. Today is the memorial of Saint Anthony of Padua. We'll talk a little bit about him. We'll talk about the daily Mass readings. We'll talk about prayer. We got a lot to talk about. Before the show starts, I want to mention one other thing. Tomorrow morning at 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time, that'll be Tuesday morning at 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be appearing on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio with Brian Patrick. That'll be at 8:40 or 7:45 a.m. I'm going to talk about, with all that's going on in the world, and we had the Orlando shootings, and let's face it, we have so many things going on in our own lives that can be very confusing, that can be very intimidating, that can make us feel out of control, right? We got to come up with a way to deal with these things, because the Lord doesn't want us to worry. Lord doesn't want us to worry. The Lord wants us to be at peace. Well, how do we do that? I'm going to talk about it tomorrow on the show, and I really hope you'll be able to tune in. 7:45 a.m. on the EWTN Radio Network. The program is Morning Glory, and we will talk about it. And certainly, we want to keep all involved in that horrible tragedy, that act of terrorism, in our prayers, all involved. Everybody. I mean, I know it's hard, but even the shooter. We had numerous souls that did not expect to die that day, who died a horrible death, again, not expecting to die that day. We need to pray for their souls. It's an act of mercy to do that. We need to pray for all affected, all the wounded, all the families. I mean, this is a terrible tragedy. God can bring good out of this. Obviously, we believe that. Does He will for people to suffer? He doesn't will it, but He allows it to happen. That gets tricky. We don't have all the time to discuss that. Anything that happens, obviously God permits to happen, and He can always draw good from it. Are we going to understand it all the time? No, we're not, because we're not God. But what we can do is pray and remember that we're not in charge, and that ultimately we're not as much in control as we think we are. And for those of us who tend to be anxious, that can really get us upset. We like to think that I am in control of my life. If I do this, then this will happen. As long as I don't do this, then nothing bad will happen to me. That's the way we tend to think. But an incident like this reminds you, you never know. We are not in control. But God is in control. Whether we like it or not, that's the reality of the situation. We might not like it. I like to be in control. When I'm not in control, I tend to start to get a little anxious. But in reality, God is in charge. We're not in charge. So let's continue to keep those individuals in our prayers, and let's pray for peace. Sometimes we think there's nothing we can do about a situation like this. Well, we could pray, and we could spread the good news. Let's face it, if you and I do our best to spread God's love in the world. We could say, oh yeah, it's not going to do any good, I'm just one person. Well, that's all you can do. You can't be responsible for what other people can do. You can do what you can. The motto of the Christophers, it's better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness. Amen? There's something you and I can do. We can learn to love and serve Jesus Christ and to get out into the world and share his love with other people. At the end of your life, you're not going to be judged on how I lived my life. You're going to be judged on what you did. And we can complain all we want about the state of the world. But what I can do, I can only do what I can do, and that's pray and go out there and love other people, right? That's what I can do, and share Christ with them. That's what I can do. And so we're expected to do that. It's easy to become overwhelmed. It's easy to lose hope, but we shouldn't. Because with God, all things are possible, and you're only responsible for what you can do. So please keep that in mind. And I'm excited to be on the show. I always like appearing on that show so that I can try to do my best to reach out as the leading Catholic speaker on anxiety to help people to deal with the stress of daily life. So that's going on. I'm trying to think. Nothing else is upcoming. I put some information on my website, followingthetruth.com, about some upcoming talks, including a trip to Florida where I'm speaking at two different parishes and appearing on a radio station. I'm going to have more information about that upcoming soon, but that's going to be July the 6th, 7th, and 8th, I believe. I'll have to check the dates. It's all on the website, followingthetruth.com. Before that, the end of June, I'll be at in Fredericksburg, Virginia, speaking at the IHM Homeschool Conference. I'll be emceeing the show one of the days and also giving a talk on the second day. So I hope you'll come out to, even if you're not a homeschooler, come on out. Plenty of good stuff there. I'll have all my books, my merchandise for sale. That's coming up. Also, don't forget the second annual Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat at the Malvern Retreat House right outside of Philadelphia. And that'll be August 5th through the 7th. So if you're a worrier, you want to join me for that. Last year, it was unbelievable. We had a wonderful time. We sold it out. We have the newer Family Life Center, and we got about 55 people. I think we can fit more. There are ways to fit other people, but we're in the air-conditioned part. And in August, that's an awesome thing. I'm going to be giving 5 brand-new talks that I didn't give last year. And we're going to just work on growing closer to Christ and feeling his peace. So if you're able to join me, please, I would love to have you. You can find out more details by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. But right now, we've got a show to do, and I'd ask you to please join me as we turn to our Heavenly Father, and we ask him to be with us today, to help us. We thank him for what he's done for us, and we bless and praise his holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for loving us so much that you created us and that you one day have prepared a place for us in heaven. We ask you, Father, to grant us the strength, the grace that we need to be able to walk on the path that will lead us to that place in heaven. Sometimes we have a tendency to stray, and we ask you to help us to stay on the path. Father, we ask that you bless us and our family members, those around us. We ask that you have mercy on all of the souls who died in the Orlando shooting. Please grant peace to all family members who were affected, as well as those who were injured in the shooting, and allow them to recover. We ask, Father, that you bring about peace in the world, that your love be able to shine through the hatred that causes so many deaths each day. We ask you, Father, to put an end to the evil act of abortion and of euthanasia. We ask that we be used to help advance your kingdom in the world. Please use us for anything that you have in mind. Even if it involves suffering, even if it involves work on our part, we want to help you, and we want to do what we can to bring souls closer to you. We ask you to help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who might be dealing with doubt or despair, those who are facing financial difficulties, those who are dealing with addiction, those who are dealing with religious persecution or living in countries where terrorism is running wild. Please, Father, help us with our own personal needs. Please take this show from me. Send your Holy Spirit to speak through me so that I may proclaim your message today. And please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to that message. Please increase vocations. And please bless all of our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother and ask for her intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Anthony of Padua, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you again for tuning in. Thanks for praying. What an awesome privilege it is to be able to talk directly to our Heavenly Father, to be able to intercede on behalf of everyone in the world who might be suffering, and to ask for what we need. It's an incredible gift to be able to do that, and it's an even greater gift that you can share with me, and you can pray for me, and I can pray for you. Isn't that amazing that we can do that? Great to be with you here. We do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. The podcast is also available on iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well. Or you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and listen to it right from there. Just go to the radio page, and you'll be all set. I'm going to take a quick sip of my beverage du jour, which today happens to be a cup of Donut Shop decaf coffee. Now relax, because I got more Mystic Monk coffee on the way. As soon as I get it, I'm going to try some on the air. If you've never had Mystic Monk coffee, I would invite you to try it today. It's the greatest coffee you will ever drink. You can find it at followingthetruth.com. Just click on the Mystic Monk image and you'll be all set. And as a reminder, all of your purchase of Mystic Monk coffee from my website helps keep this show on the air, keeps my full-time apostolate going. So I thank you for that. In addition, please keep in mind my Amazon store. You can use the link on my page, followingthetruth.com. That's for all of your Amazon purchases, no matter what it is. If you use that link, you're going to help me out. I get a little bit of a commission on anything you purchase. You have access to all the regular products that you normally would have access to if you went to just old regular old Amazon.com. But just using that link really helps me out. Also remember, donations are incredibly important as we enter into the summer months. It's really important to help me out. If you like the show, if you want to keep me on the air, if you want to keep me going, I know that the Lord is going to inspire you if you believe in me. And if you feel that nudge, if you feel something telling you, well, maybe I should contribute to Gary, please. That could be the Holy Spirit. I'd be very grateful if you would do that. And again, I'm very thankful for your support and your prayers. Okay, let's see here. Let's get right into these Mass readings. But before we do, I want to talk about St. Anthony of Padua. It's his memorial today. Okay, St. Anthony of Padua from the Daily Magnificat, a popular intercessor for those who seek lost objects. We all know what it's like to pray to St. Anthony when we are trying to find something. He was declared a doctor of the church in 1946. His teaching comes down to us in sermons composed by his or for his fellow Franciscans. Considering the crucified Lord, Anthony writes, "Christ, who is your life, is hanging before you, so that you may look at the cross as in a mirror. There you will be able to know how mortal were your wounds, that no medicine other than the blood of the Son of God could heal. Nowhere other than looking at himself in the mirror of the cross can man better understand how much he is worth." Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? St. Anthony died in Padua, Italy in 1231. So St. Anthony of Padua, please pray for us. Help us to grow closer to the Lord and to be willing to go out into the world and share the good news. We're going to look at the Mass readings now. These are from the Monday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is a bit lengthy, so I want to get right to it. It's from the first book of Kings, chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel. next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard to be my vegetable garden. Since it is close by, next to my house, I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I will give you its value in money." Naboth answered him, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral heritage." Ahab went home, disturbed and angry at the answer Naboth the Jezreelite had made to him. "I will not give you my ancestral heritage." Lying down on his bed, he turned away from food and would not eat. His wife Jezebel came to him and said to him, "Why are you so angry that you will not eat?" He answered her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you a vineyard in exchange.' But he refused to let me have his vineyard." His wife Jezebel said to him, "A fine ruler over Israel you are indeed. Get up, eat, and be cheerful. I will obtain the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite for you." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and having scaled them or sealed them with his seal, sent them to the elders and to the nobles who lived in the same city with Naboth. This is what she wrote in the letters: "Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth at the head of the people. Next, get two scoundrels to face him, and accuse him of having cursed God and king. Then take him out and stone him to death, his fellow citizens, the elders and nobles who dwelt in his city did as Jezebel had ordered them in writing, through the letters she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and placed Naboth at the head of the people. Two scoundrels came in and confronted him with the accusation, 'Naboth has cursed God and king,' and they led him out of the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent the information to Jezebel that Naboth had been stoned to death. When Jezebel learned that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, 'Go on, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you, because Naboth is not alive but dead.' On hearing that Naboth was dead, Ahab started off on his way down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it." You know, I'll tell you what, it is a... It's a bit of a shocking reading, isn't it? It's a reminder of just how evil people can be. And oftentimes, at the heart of evil, the heart of these evil sins that we commit, is greed. I want something, and nobody's going to tell me that I can't have it. Therefore, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to take this thing that I want. That's really dangerous. And we can all... We look at this, we think, wow, Jezebel, she was a really nasty person. There's no way that I would ever be like that. But yet we do that in different ways, maybe not to that extent. We all can be guilty of doing that in our lives. I want this, so therefore I'm going to go get it, or maybe I'm not going to tell somebody else about this thing, whatever it may be, that I found, because he might or she might take it from me. You know, that's the kind of thing we think of sometimes. We get a little greedy. We get a little jealous. This is mine. Nobody can have this. I want this. We can be envious. And that envy can lead to all kinds of bad things. Even if we don't do something bad to another person, what about if we're envious of what somebody else has, we're envious, and we don't pray for them? Because we're envious and we don't want them to succeed because we think that they have something that we should have, right? So that lack of prayer, that lack of charity, and it can manifest itself in a number of different ways, that can cause us to sin, either by commission or omission. You know, if I'm not praying for somebody or not being nice to a person because I'm envious of what they have, that's a big problem. We want to be really careful about avoiding that. So what I would say is ask the Holy Spirit today to let you know if you're falling victim to that. Don't read this reading as something that happened thousands of years ago and is about a person that doesn't affect you. This does affect each one of us. And there's a danger that we all face, that we could fall victim to doing this. So please keep that in mind. The next reading, the psalm, is Psalm 5. "Lord, listen to my groaning. Hearken to my words, O Lord. Attend to my sighing. Heed my call for help, my King and my God. At dawn I bring my plea expectantly before you. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness. No evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful, the Lord abhors. Sometimes the people who are doing these bad things, they're directing them at us. Maybe somebody is envious of something that I have, and people are being nasty toward me. Maybe they're saying bad things about me. Maybe they're spreading rumors. Maybe they're physically assaulting me. No matter what it is, we have a friend in the Lord, and he understands the plight of those who are suffering. Certainly Jesus knows what it's like to suffer, and he can relate to what we're going through. Don't ever feel that you're all alone and nobody understands, because the Lord always hears the cries of the poor. And the poor can be you, it can be me, it can be anybody that needs something. And if we need somebody to come to our rescue, we certainly are in that category. So remember that he is with you. We'll talk about prayer in a few minutes. It's really critical that we understand that we can do something. We can always do something. The gospel today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow." This is a tough message, especially when you look at what happened over the weekend with this terrorist attack. And these terrorist attacks are all over the place. Oftentimes, they don't hit that close to home. Maybe we can't relate to this particular situation. I mean, we certainly should be able to relate, because these are people that were murdered. The fact that it was a gay nightclub, though, can sometimes make us get a little confused and think, oh yeah, well, I can't really relate. Well, if it happened in your town and maybe you knew some of the victims, you might feel differently. But the point is, no matter what happens, and we could have somebody who's attacking us in some way, maybe not in a physical way or a violent way, but maybe through words, are we willing to forgive that person? Oftentimes we're not, or we decide how much we'll be able to forgive. Okay, I'll forgive you for hurting me once or twice, but you do it a third time and forget it. Well, we're not allowed morally to set that, to draw that line in the sand. And ultimately, we can look to Jesus. We have to look to Jesus, because otherwise, we're not going to be able to follow through and obey what the Lord's saying. Look to him on the cross, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If he can forgive at that point, then you and I can forgive what happens to us. No, none of us are up on a crucifix right now. Amen? So we can forgive. How do we forgive? We forgive by turning to the Lord and asking for the grace to forgive. We can use the words, "I forgive you." We can pray for the person if we're not able to speak to them. We can forgive them in a number of different ways. And remember that forgiveness is an act of the will. It's not a feeling. So you still might not have good feelings for that person. You could pray to have better feelings, but you might not have good feelings, but you can forgive them. It also doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat. If somebody is abusing you in any way, you are not morally obligated to continue to take it. You're not permitted, in a moral sense, to strike out against them, either with words or actions, but you can retreat. You don't have to keep getting hammered over the head if somebody's really dishing out the abuse. So keep that in mind. Pray for the grace. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you if there are any such people in your life. I'm amazed sometimes when I do this, who you haven't forgiven. Pray for that grace. You'll be amazed. I run into this all the time because I think I'm pretty good at this. And then I'll realize, wow, I'm still mad at somebody for something they did to me years ago. It's amazing how often that happens. So pray for that grace, and the Holy Spirit won't disappoint you. But it's really important that we remember that. We need to forgive. We need to avoid the temptation of greed, or succumbing to the temptation of greed. We see what happened in that first reading. We feel we're entitled to something. And therefore, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that thing because I deserve it. Be very careful about that. You get yourself in some big moral trouble. And if we're going to get to heaven, we have to avoid behaving like that. Okay, so pray for it and ask for guidance, and the Lord's not going to let you down. Let's talk about prayer now, because we got some really good stuff here. I love talking about prayer because it confuses us so many times. I think there's a certain confusion about prayer. We're unsure, am I praying enough? Do I need to pray more? Or do I need to pray in a different way? Well, this is from the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We like to do this on Monday. Most Mondays I look at what Catholics really believe, because I think it's important that we understand what it is that we really do believe. So we'll talk about it today. What are the sources of Christian prayer? Where does Christian prayer come from? And if you have a compendium, this is a really good book. This is published by the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It breaks down the catechism into question and answers. I really like it. I've had this book for several years now. You could pick up a copy from the USCCB. I don't know if you could still get it from Amazon. You might be able to get it in your local Catholic bookstore. Check it out. I think you would love this book. This is question 558. What are the sources of Christian prayer? The sources of Christian prayer are the Word of God, which gives us the surpassing knowledge of Christ, which is, remember, the Word of God to us as Catholics is both the Bible, the written Word of God, plus the teaching of the Church, the official teaching of the Church down throughout the ages. So the Word of God is both sacred scripture and sacred tradition with a capital T. Another source is the liturgy of the Church that proclaims, makes present, and communicates the mystery of salvation. The theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, we get those when we're baptized. And everyday situations, because in them we encounter God. And these are the sources of Christian prayer. In the Church, are there different ways of praying? In the Church, there are various ways of praying that are tied to different historical, social, and cultural contexts. The magisterium of the Church, which is the teaching office of the Church, has the task of discerning the fidelity of these ways of praying to the tradition of apostolic faith. It is for pastors and catechists to explain their meaning, which is always related to Jesus Christ. Yes, from time to time, people could get involved in some funky way of praying that really is not a valid form of turning to the one true God. You just got to be careful about that. If you stick to the teaching of the Church will guide you. What is the way of our prayer? The way of our prayer is Christ, because prayer is directed to God our Father, but reaches Him only if we pray at least implicitly in the name of Jesus. His humanity is, in effect, the only way by which the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray to our Father. Therefore, liturgical prayers conclude with the formula, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remember that we have a Heavenly Father. Our Father loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to live among us, to teach us the ways of the Father, to redeem us. And then Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be sent once He ascended into heaven. So now we have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to turn to Jesus, and Jesus leads us to the Father. I think that's one of the big confusing things about prayer. Do I pray to God the Father? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? I would say pray to everybody. I have a feeling I need to talk more about this, because it's something that I'm really pursuing right now. And I think it's a great source of confusion for so many people. Let me talk about this now. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer? Since the Holy Spirit is the interior master of Christian prayer, and we do not know how to pray as we ought, from Romans 8:26, the Church exhorts us to invoke Him and implore Him on every occasion. Come, Holy Spirit. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we pray, to pray with Jesus to the Father, in the will of Jesus to the Father. How is Christian prayer Marian? Because of her singular cooperation with the action of the Holy Spirit, the Church loves to pray to Mary and with Mary, the perfect prayer, and to magnify and invoke the Lord with her. Mary, in effect, shows us the way, who is her Son, the one and only mediator. So we can also turn to our Blessed Mother. We do this on the show every day, and ask her to help us to pray to ask her to intercede for us. All right, so there's some ways you could pray. I am completely out of time. I got to run. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow. Let's pray for one another, okay? Will you do that? And I hope to see you tomorrow. God bless you.